Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Saturday's Old Firm clash edges ever closer. Callum McGregor hopes bigger away allocations can return one day, but wants to take advantage of home comforts for now. It's getting tense on the injury front. Will the likes of Raskin, Taylor and Hatate make it? And elsewhere, Robbie Nielsen reveals his disappointment at graffiti calling for his sacking outside Tynecastle. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yep, just a couple of days out now from the big one, and the players will be feeling the nerves. I'm sure the fans will be feeling the nerves. And you rightly touched on the big news over these couple of days of who is fit to make it for both sides. Both missing key players last week. Will they be fit in time for the midday kickoff or 12:30 kickoff on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's on everyone's lips. Who's going to win the big one this weekend? I'm on McElroy each way. But I think everyone now will be getting excited, Gordon. They'll be ramped up. I think people will be looking to, obviously, Celtic Park, 12:30. What's the team's got to be? Who's got to be fit? Who's got to be available? And I just think it's such an important game, a terrific game, and I'm really looking forward to it.
0141-951-1025. That is the number you need. Let's hear from you then. Just two of these preview shows to go. 12:30, East End of Glasgow, Saturday is where it all kicks off. So you've got two opportunities on here to preview what you think is going to happen, to get all your hopes, wishes, dreams and fears off your chest. And as the guys have said, all the added ingredients of players coming back from injury, who's going to make it, who's not. Of course, there is the rare situation where there will be no away fans. We've not really been used to that before. What impact do you think that will have on the match? We'll hear from Callum McGregor on that topic fairly soon. So if you want to get your thoughts in on that, now would be a good time. 0141-951-1025. Of course, like we said, a bit of wishful thinking from lots of you about who's going to be available and who's not. And it's a big weekend elsewhere, don't let anyone kid you. We're going to hear from Robbie Nielsen, what a turbulent time they've had. Graffiti outside Tynecastle. I bet St Mirren is one of the last teams they'd want to come to Tynecastle at the weekend. Aberdeen, Kilmarnock, Derek McInnes against Barry Robson. Can Motherwell keep their good run going? Can Ross County and Dundee United over the weekend get something at the bottom as well? I do expect lots of you to be thinking about Celtic Rangers 12:30 Saturday, which is absolutely fine. So 0141-951-1025. It's at that stage in the week, Mark. You can feel it. You can feel it in the air.
Yeah, yeah. And for the players, I mean, the hard work would have been done throughout the week. Tomorrow, I'm pretty sure it'll just be a light session for both sets of players, and their mind will be firmly fixed on the game. But it's a huge one, because it's the first of three games in the space of probably about 6 weeks, with the Scottish Cup game sandwiched in between two league games. But this one, if Celtic go ahead and win it and go 12 points clear, then the league is as good as done before the split. If Rangers somehow manage to win and take it back to 6 points with a game at Ibrox to come, then things certainly do get interesting, and it obviously puts them in a good place ahead of that Scottish Cup game. So crucial, crucial game coming up.
For me, it's certainly more important. I know that, listen, important for both sets of players, both sets of fans. You want the bragging rights, you want to win. But for me, it's a must for Rangers. If they've any hope, and it will be a slim hope, if there's any hope at all of catching Celtic, because it would put the gap down to 6 plus probably that one with the goal difference, then they have got to take advantage and they've got to beat Celtic on Saturday. Any other in a victory at Celtic Park, then you can kiss the league goodbye 100%. It's sitting at 90 odds just now, Gordon, for me. But if Celtic had to win that game on Saturday, it's good night.
And here's the thing we've been getting through on the phone slowly but surely over the last few days, is it actually more than that anyway? Because whether or not Rangers can produce an unlikely comeback and win the league, above and beyond that, they're going to need to beat Celtic at some point. They're going to need to give everyone involved a belief that it will be better next season, even if it's not going to this time. So, you know, the 3 points and the league title, I mean, obviously that's the priority, but there's always a bit more than that attached to these games, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think important, because we always say that, see if you're for instance a striker of either of these clubs, it's the most important thing to score a goal, right? We had Morelos coming in for a lot of criticism every time he played Celtic. I think it's the same for the Rangers manager. He will be desperate to get one over on Postecoglou. So yes, I think that there's more to it. You've got to show the fans that you're trying to get that, you know, that gap bridged. You've got to go in with a bit of confidence and try and win it. Listen, it's a big task because you're going to Celtic. You're going to Celtic Park. They're not 9 points clear with the goal difference and everything if they're not performing. Were they great at Ross County last week? No, they weren't, but they still get the job done. I just think we'll be in for a terrific afternoon of football.
Right, 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. You don't even need me to steer you in the right direction in nights like this, because it all comes into the equation, doesn't it? What the game means, your predictions, your bragging rights, your team lineup suggestions, it's all there. We get the scattergun out and we don't mind that at all. We are about to hear from Callum McGregor though, talking about the lack of, the absence of an away allocation. So maybe to kick us off, we could have a look at what you think that will do to the football match. Look, this argument about whether it's right or whether it's wrong and what we do in the future, we've kind of done that and I'm sure we'll get back to it. But now that we are where we are, what do you think it'll do to the football match? How will it differ, if at all? Maybe you were there. Now, here's my task for tonight. I want to find someone who was at the April 1994 game. Remember that, Mark?
John
Wilson,
Collins
with scores. No away fans. Maybe you were there, Rangers fans. You could let us know. How do you think it impacts things? Does it change anything? Or do we overthink this? What impact does it have? How do you think it influences things in any way? 0141 951 1025. Callum McGregor is hoping for a return to more familiar allocations in the future, but clearly just hoping home advantage can go in their favour this weekend.
Hopefully, as a spectacle, we can sort of get it back to, you know, where it was maybe a few years ago, where there was bigger crowds in the stadium. I think it just adds a little bit of something different. So of course we have to accept it for the time being. And you know, my thought is that hopefully we can get back to, you know, having the bigger allocation what we've had a few years ago. Of course the place becomes more hostile. We'll be looking to use that to our advantage, of course, at the weekend. You know, hopefully we can harness that energy in the stadium and use it in a positive for us.
Brian's a Celtic fan first through. Like I said, Brian, Callum McGregor sort of hits the nail on the head where we have to accept it for now. So rather than sort of arguing about whether it's right or wrong, do you think does it change things this weekend? How do you think it plays out?
Well, I've been at both these games you spoke about before, where the away fans were you know, barred or whatever it is. I just think it's an absolute disaster. And that is the truth. Even although we're playing great football, the money, a wee bit of money, but the world looks at this game. The world looks at this game. And the truth of the matter, it doesn't matter if we put it aside or whatever, the truth of the matter, Callum McGregor is saying what Celtic have said all along, a full allocation as it was, as it should be, as it should be going forward. Because without that electricity between the two fans. Now, it may be hate to some, it may be abhorrent to others, but for me, as a wee boy growing up watching it and being in the middle of it, it's the most incredible tribalistic like experience for a Celtic and Rangers fan of my age. I'm 55, to say that they would rather not have the other. I just think that's bunkum, rubbish.
Yeah, that's the thing, Mark. We had this argument already when it got announced, and we've had it loads, and we'll continue to think in terms of this weekend. You know, we are where we are. Callum McGregor said it there. Look, certainly not changing it by this weekend. So I wonder what you think that will be like. I mean, you've played in it,
yeah,
and in the fixture.
It's pretty difficult to try and think what that could be like.
So I take it only had the biggest of the
we
allocations.
We had the biggest allocation, so I think it was 8,000, 7,000 or 8,000, right, and vice versa when Rangers came to Celtic Park. So it's quite difficult to imagine it without that. I mean, I know for a fact it certainly made a difference to me when I went to Ibrox and I knew there was 8,000 Celtic supporters there, and you could certainly feel their presence and atmosphere and at times in the game. I suppose where you know, you're pushing for a goal. I think it does make a difference for the Rangers players going there. I don't think this weekend will have any difference for the Celtic team. Obviously, you know, they've still got 50,000 or 50,000 there anyway. But for the Rangers players, it must be quite an unusual atmosphere. Not many, I don't think, if any, would have played in those circumstances.
Suppose, Gordon, though, we took a step towards this. I mean, it was 700 previously, so we'll find out in the phone. Some people might say, well, do you know what, it was down at 700 anyway, so going from 700 to none is not that big a change. But other people would push back, because you're still talking about the noise of 700 versus the noise of none. Which is obviously going to be different. How does that impact the match?
Well, I'm a bit of old school in this debate, Gordon, because I grew up very lucky that when I played in Rangers Celtic games, and it was old grounds at the time, the Celtic end was full of Rangers supporters at Celtic Park, and vice versa when you came to Ibrox. And I thought it made for the game. I thought the atmosphere, everything was unbelievable. I've also sat through COVID when there was no fans, and that was the worst experience I've ever had, going to a Celtic Rangers game at Celtic Park. I'll never forget that day. But I'm not a great fan of 700-800. For Rangers fans to be put in the corner, Celtic fans in the corner.
So you don't think this zero actually changes that much compared to what we've had?
No, not for me. Yeah. Not for me. I think if you're going to get back to away fans, it's got to be the right allocation for me.
Because the thing is, Mark, and I don't mean to patronise anyone who's listening as Celtic or Rangers fans, but there is a reality here where if you're a Celtic fan, you've never watched a Celtic game or a Rangers game as a neutral. You just haven't. And vice versa, if you're a Rangers fan, you've never watched a Rangers game or a Celtic fan as a neutral.
Yeah.
So having been at Ibrox and Celtic Park, working and just focusing on your job and not really bothering about the outcome, It is weird. See, when St Johnston are there, for instance, at Ibrox, right, and there's a Wednesday night, and there's a small pocket over in the corner, and it's hardly any. See, when a St Johnston player gets fouled, or there's an allegation of a foul, and there's no reaction, that to me does change things. Just on a human level, you know, that way. For instance, you could be, it's the noise that sort of draws your eyes to incidents, doesn't it?
And it
sort of makes it makes everything feel like it's worth paying attention to. Now, I don't know if, because I'm sure the 700 would do that, whereas the zero can't. So it is a completely different feel.
Without doubt. I mean, the Rangers players themselves will feel that this weekend. There's no doubt about it. You make a good point about, you know, claiming for decisions or... By the way, sometimes you're on the pitch and you think, have I got that right? But if you hear your fans with you, it makes a difference. So quite an odd experience for them. But it's a shame that we're going to have to get used to it, because it's, I don't know when it's going to change. Someone... Well, both will need to back down to move things on.
I don't think we need to obsess too much, Gordon, about the you know, the advantage in Celtic's favour right now, because obviously we're going to see the same in a couple of weeks, vice versa. So I'm speaking quite generally, that either Saturday or the next time, there's this realistic possibility that in this massive fixture, the biggest of club fixtures, a goal goes in to complete and utter silence. It just jars you as a football fan, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not going to say what team, but can you imagine with 25 minutes to go, one of the teams are winning comfortably, the stadium's empty. You'll be back to, I'm sitting there and there's no fans in the stadium. I just think that Brian, you know, he's probably grown up in the old school a bit like myself, and it means so much to the supporters. It's the atmosphere. It's one of the biggest games in the world, as far as I'm concerned, Gordon. And I think to make it that game, it needs both sets of supporters in that ground.
What do you think, Derek and Rutherglen? Does it actually impact a football match, or do we, from the outside, make too much of that stuff?
I think it impacts it massively. So I just want to ask Gordon and Mark if they think that a full house for Celtic is an advantage for Celtic, just a yes or a no.
Well, they have 55,000 there anyway. Does an extra 5,000 make that much a difference? I'm not sure it does.
You're not sure.
Another 5,000?
I take it you disagree, Derek. Mark didn't give you the answer you want, perhaps, but what's your own take?
I mean, the fact that Rangers don't have any fans, I think that puts Rangers at a disadvantage. But what I was saying, and I don't think Andy's really speaking about this, is we're halfway through a season. Celtic won, like you have just spoken about, for the last 10 minutes. The title's over. The title's probably over the new anyway, but I mean, there's still something to cling on to. But halfway through the season, the goalposts have been changed to give, in my opinion, Celtic an advantage, because Rangers don't have any fans. The first two Old Firms of the season, there was fans at either side, and now we're going for a title decider, and all of a sudden there's no fans, and we've all agreed that that gives Celtic an advantage. How's it, where's the sporting integrity in that? Because we like to use that word in this country.
I mean, you don't have to commit to ticket allocations at the start of a season. So, you know, Derek's along the lines of how can you do that? You just can. Anybody can do it, any club. That is part of the problem here, because we view everything through the lens of Celtic and Rangers, right? But Andy can do that. You know, you can move allocations as the season goes on. You take Derek, get where Derek's coming from, because it so happens that this one becomes the title decider now, but only but you could also say the last one was, because that was the one that made Celtic 9 points clear. And Derek's just said himself he thinks it's over. So if it's over already, how's this one the title decider? It's difficult.
I know what Derek's saying about the advantage. I'm a little bit with Mark. I can see both points of it. I don't think 700 people in Celtic Park will give Celtic another so much advantage, because as Mark quite rightly says, they'll have 50,000 their own.
So if we'd gone from 7,000 to zero, you think that's massive, but you think going for the 700 to zero doesn't.
Yeah, I really do.
Can you see that logic, Derek? Obviously zero is more extreme. I don't think any of us would try and argue with you, but the guys don't seem to think it's that different compared to 700. You know, in previous seasons, going from 7,000 to zero would be drastic.
100%, I agree with what they're saying, but what I'm trying to say is there's no fans for the opposition, so the away fans, there's zero. So I'm not talking about the extra 700, I'm talking about the fact that there's zero away fans must put the away team at a disadvantage, because the whole stadium is full of just Celtic fans. That's my point, and I don't really think we can argue with that, can we?
No, I think we're all kind of agreeing, but the guys do agree with you, Derek, but we're talking, and don't embarrass me, my arithmetic will be off slightly, but we're talking about going from 98% of the stadium being Celtic 200%. So of course Derek is right, that is different, but you guys are saying that 2% or whatever it actually is.
Can't believe you didn't ask me in the percentage. Negligible. I'm right up there. You know, I'm on the ball with that. But do you know something? I know until you've, obviously we've been very lucky. Mark's played a lot more than me. I played in these games as well. Right, you would love your own fans there. Of course you would, if you scored a goal, to celebrate and everything. But see, as a player, I've played for a smaller club going to Celtic Park where it's a full house. And, you know, you can get that energy, you can get that buzz off the atmosphere of saying, you know, it's such a packed house that you're playing against, you're against all the odds. It can lift you as well. It can lift the away side as well, Gordon. It's not all negative.
Can you use it like a siege mentality?
Exactly.
Sort of.
Yes, of course you can. Would it help to have your own supporters at your back? Yes, but it's not going to. And there's not a better game than getting into Celtic Park full and saying, right, the adrenaline will still be going through the Rangers players as it will the Celtic. There's no doubt in that.
Can Rangers win against the odds, Derek?
I heard Mark talking earlier on about how Rangers have used some word, I can't remember exactly what it was, but Rangers have got quite a decent record at Celtic Park of late. You know, I mean, I know we get beat twice last season, but if you go seasons before that, it's not like we can't go to Celtic Park and win. It's not exactly, you know, a place where Rangers have never won before. So I think we can go and win. I'm not saying we're going to, but I think we certainly can. I don't think Celtic are untouchable and we can't beat them. They're certainly not unbeatable.
We'll find out very soon. Thank you, Derek. 0141 951 1025. I can sense a lot of you wanting to argue about whether it's right or wrong for the allocation, and I get that. I just feel like we've done that before, and I feel like we'll definitely do it again. So maybe more about the impact you think it has this weekend, if you can. But if not, it's up to you. Get the calls in.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL, Mark Wilson are here. It's 01419511025. It's Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Going to hear some more from Callum McGregor very soon. We're in that nervous part of the week, aren't we? There's not been any concrete update on the likes of Nicholas Raskin for you Rangers fans. I know there was stuff on social media today, Celtic fans, about Taylor and Hatate having missed training, but Moy being back. But again, no update yet, not had the chance to speak to the manager. So how are you feeling on that front? How crucial could some of those names be? 01419511025. Scott is a Celtic fan. What's on your mind, Scott?
All right, guys. It's about your last baller there, basically. It's all about sport and integrity. This is the club that made this all happen, that says, no, we've had enough. We want our fans in. Let's do away with the 7,500 Celtic fans. This is the same club that decided this is all going to start. So before the Rangers fans, or that particular Rangers fan comes on and starts talking about it, maybe get their own backyard right first, because we don't. Well, I go to the games as much as I can home and away, and I miss going to Ibrox because the atmosphere is fantastic. Much as this, the same going to Tynecastle and Easter Road, but you know yourself, we've all seen it, we've seen the colour. Remember Beach Ball Sunday when the Celtic fans got to the Cup Final, Europa League Cup Final, or UEFA Cup Final, and the scene that was there with all the beach balls and that, the colour. They've robbed us of this. Rangers Football Club. No, not the fans, but Rangers Football Club. And a lot of people, we've all suggested over the years, if something to do with, well, Celtic were going to Ibrox and basically running a walk for at least two or three seasons, Rangers must come into the division. So, nothing to do with it. Sport integrity. Rangers Football Club, let's get it right here. They decided to do this. Nobody else.
How do you think it impacts things this weekend, or does it? The guys are not overly convinced that going from 700 to none is that big a difference. What's your own take on it?
I think it makes no difference. All it gives, the only thing it does do, I would say, is if the away team, and I know I was lucky to get to one of the games at Ibrox, it was a 2-0 game that Edward and Johnny Hayes scored in, it gives you the players somewhere to run. If I'm running out of their own dugout to see their team, it's nice to be able to run your own fans, I suppose, if you're a player. I can't see what 700 or 7,000 would make. There'd be a difference of 7,000, obviously. 700, I don't see the difference in it. It's more than integrity. Does that guy know that the next game's played at Ibrox and there's no fans, Celtic fans there?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of what I was trying to point out, in the sense that it's all right to come on and present this one as being the title decider and say that it's unfair, but it's going to be the same the next one. And for all we know,
make sure
that, you know, say Rangers were to get a result, then the next one becomes the title decider and Rangers have got it in their favour. So I did say at the start, Gordon, we'd probably go round in circles to a point in terms of who was right and who was wrong, and Scott's pointing out Rangers cut the allocation first and all that stuff. He's right, just it might be a small thing. If you score, you can't run to your own fans, that they're not there. I did say just that notion that a goal goes into absolute silence, what does that do to the occasion?
Yeah, that's the only downside, Gordon. If you score a goal in a game like that, and the importance of it, and every single one's important, you want to try and at least go and celebrate with your own supporters, as Mark will tell you. I've been there. I scored against Celtic and I had to celebrate with the Celtic supporters, and I thank them very much for joining in. It was a fantastic moment. But it does put a bit of a damp squid in it for me. I think that's the only downside. I'm not buying into the 700 makes such a difference. If it's 7,000, I'm with that, but 700 not.
What is interesting about it is we're going to get a glimpse of, you know, all three versions within 6 weeks. We'll get no away fans at Celtic Park, then we'll get a split at Hampden, and then we'll get no away fans at Ibrox. So
we've just had the split at Hampden,
yeah,
and we've had the 700 version twice. So what about that's various different
the houses?
So soon you narrow it down, Mark, right? And we've been to these games. I will go 100% and say, if I had my choice, Celtic Park, Ibrox, or the split at Hampden, I want to go to Hampden all day long, if I'm picking one of the three games.
So Scott, how do you feel generally then? Celtic were favourites anyway, you don't think the allocation makes much difference? What are your overall sort of thoughts on the game?
Well, I don't think that whether it was 700 Rangers fans here or not, it's going to make any difference on the field. Don't get me wrong, I've been to games where Celtic have been played poorly and the fans have got behind the team and it's rallied them round. I don't know how much you can read into any type of things, but I've certainly been there at one game. I don't know if Gordon maybe remember this. Celtic were losing 2-0 at Ibrox. It was Dundee United won the league, and Celtic were 2-0 down at half time and won 4-2. And there's a bit in one of the Celtic documentaries, they're talking about Billy McNeil and Tommy Burns are talking about, you could hear the Celtic fans for the dressing room, and they sang the whole of the half time. I was here myself as well. So yeah, it can lift the fans. 7,500, yeah, certainly getting behind the team. I don't think, if I'm being honest with you, I don't really care what team Rangers put out, because I think our best is better than their best, and as long as we play our level, I think Celtic should win comfortably. Well, I don't know about that, but certainly I think Celtic would win as long as your good players turn up. If their good players turn up, I'll take their players over their players every time.
Thank you very much to Scott. We are on Twitter. Daryl says his wee brother was the mascot the day when there was no Celtic fans at Ibrox. He says, I think he intimidated John Collins more than the No Away fans. He was nearly as tall as him. Doesn't affect the players, maybe the fans more so. And Hugh Keevans has texted to say that he was there in 94, but he'll save his story for tomorrow night. I'm sure he would be.
Yeah, I remember John Collins. Predators were just coming out. Adidas, yes. Predators. And he bends it round the wall to silence. Yeah, remember
that was a myth. He put Predators on, you could bend it. It was a weird lad Johnson at Liverpool that brought him out on it.
What do you mean it was a myth? Those wee bits of rubber were magic.
Catch yourself, I stayed with the World Cup, so I could still bend it like Beckham.
No, you just kicked the ball straight all the time.
Yeah, a wee header now and again.
Bash.
Yeah. Copins.
Let's bring in.
Boring.
In fact, we're going to bring in Darren in just a second. Let's hear a bit more from Callum McGregor. He was on media duty today. Some interesting stuff from him. And here's a stat for you, Mark Wilson. Because, of course, these sides do meet a lot. Callum McGregor and Rangers captain James Tavernier are set to face each other for the 30th time this weekend. Both players are each other's most common opponent throughout their careers. And McGregor says there is that mutual respect between the two.
To be honest, I never knew that. I thought about it. I think there's too much going on when you get to these games. You're just focused on trying to help the team win them as much as you possibly can. So, football throws up these little funny quirks every now and again, and I wasn't aware of it, but obviously nice to see as well. Yeah, of course. He's done great as well. He's the captain of a big side, a big club as well. So you understand the responsibility that goes with that. And just for me in that side as well, what you need to give in your personal life to be able to do the job properly. So, of course, there's a mutual respect there. But, of course, both of us are doing everything we can to make our club successful. And when we cross that white line onto the pitch, then, you want to give everything that you can to, like I said, make your club successful. That shows you how long we've both been in the game now. So, I'm sure we're looking forward to facing each other again at the weekend.
Quite remarkable. That's a great start, and it just shows for both players the longevity, and how little they're injured when these games come round. Because it's already been at a club for that length of time, but to constantly play and playing the big ones is something else. So, yeah, well done to both.
It's quite interesting to get a little snapshot about it there, Gordon, because for us and for fans on the outside, there's only a very small selection of people who, like Callum McGregor, they're pointing out that those two are kind of in the same boat. I know you think of them as having to be complete opposite, but it's not really like that. They're the only two people in the city, for instance, who know right now what it's like to be the captain of those football teams. They stay away from each other on the pitch due to position and so on. So I don't think we're trying to paint that out as some sort of terrific personal rivalry. It's not really like that, but it's quite a number of meetings between the two.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it either. I looked at Mark, I was very surprised at 30, Gordon. But I like the way Cal McGregor talks there. He's very respectful of his opposite captain. I'm sure James Tavernier is the exact same. Me personally, I think they're two really good captains, good leaders, especially Cal McGregor. I thought that Cal McGregor took on the responsibility after Scott Brown, and they were big shoes to fill, and he's been absolutely brilliant, led by example. And then if you flip it over to Tavernier, a guy who, if he has two or three bad games or a defeat here and there, comes in for a lot of criticism from the Rangers supporters, but he's faced every challenge head on. He's been terrific. His return to goals has been incredible for a fullback. And for me, he's been a terrific leader and captain for Rangers as well.
Let's bring in Darren, who's a Rangers fan on the line. Take it away, Darren.
Hiya. I've actually got 2 points. Well, 1 point and one prediction.
Go for it.
So, first one, obviously, is this big debate about the crowds and who should be in, who shouldn't be in, all that sort of stuff. And like the last guy kind of said, as a Rangers fan, yeah, we started it. And it'd be nice for just both clubs just to man up and accept that Rangers were in the wrong, Celtic are in the wrong being as petty back. Because, let's face it, it's Rangers-Celtic is one of the biggest derbies in world football, and we're running the risk of becoming a laughing stock by not having the potential atmosphere and all sorts of stuff like that that comes with the great thing of having both sets of fans there. Like, see, as a Rangers fan, I love having Celtic fans around. The banter's great, the atmosphere's tremendous, and we're doing the game a disservice by having the situation it is. And like I say, Rangers started it. We should hold our hands up and say, look, we were in the wrong. And again, Celtic should accept that and hopefully just move on from this, because it is just petty and stupid.
Listen, lots of people agree with that. Lots don't, Gordon. It is a debate that's raged on. The problem right now, again, we're going over old ground, but quickly, there's no quick solution to this, because now, particularly Ibrox, where the decision was made first, as Darren says, season tickets have been sold for that area. So you're not just suddenly going to snap your fingers and go back to the way it was. We're just not. Everybody can wish it that it was the case. But for now, and certainly for these next two, we're stuck with it, if you like, and you've got to just see what impact it has, if any.
Yeah, exactly. And that'll still be a big talking point, but we've just got to accept it and move on. You quite rightly said, Gordon, I'm in the same camp as Darren, just to make matters out there. I want both sets of fans in. I think it makes for a spectacle. As I keep going back to it, Celtic Park, Ibrox or Hampden, I would rather go along to Hampden, because I think both sets of fans make it such a spectacle.
And again, Mark, with the 3-0, the Celtic Rangers last season, Hatate double Abada, there wouldn't have been any away fans that night, I don't think. So,
sure. What's up?
There wasn't, but I think maybe it just feels more. It feels like more of a line in the sand now, because it's at least feels like it's semi-permanent.
Yeah. And that is a disappointing thing. And, you know, there doesn't seem to be any resolution to this. It seems simple from the outside, I'm sure, to all of us, to Darren, who says that Rangers just need to hold up their hands and say, let's move on. Celtic need to accept it. I think we would all love that to happen. Obviously, it's not as simple as that. You make a good point, Gordon, with the season tickets being sold. So it has to be done at the start of the season. And carry on from there. Whether we'll get there next season, I don't think we will. I think we'll be waiting for some time for this to change back.
What about this weekend specifically then, Darren, this game in hand, what are you thinking?
Well, it's a prediction I hope doesn't come true. I'm quite fortunate that I'll be in the ground.
What does that mean? You work in the pie stall?
No, I'll be in the line. I'll be in the line of duty, but I'm not a police officer. That's all I'll say.
Oh, what are you then?
I can't. He can't
disclose that. That's a fake name.
He's a sneaker in. That's what he is.
It's a stage name he's given us. He has no call.
His name's no Darren.
No, no chance. Anyway,
PC
Pierre, proud first aid volunteer.
First aid. See, he's doing his bit.
Well done, Darren.
Well done.
My prediction is that. And as I say, I don't want this to come true, that I don't want us to be looking at something now and letting the crowd be the influencer.
Sure.
Referees have had a big, big, big bit of criticism over the past little while on both sides of the Old Firm. And I don't want it to come down to, say it's a 1-0 or something and there's a contentious decision. I don't want people to be analysing and saying it's the crowd that swayed the ref, because that'll just take... Oh, it'll just grow arms and legs, and I don't want it to become that. But I have this horrible feeling, this really, really horrible feeling that come Saturday afternoon is what's going to be discussed on this show, that there'll be a decision that people will think the crowd swayed the ref.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree, but I think you've also got to acknowledge there will be a lot of people out there who've decided by now that that's going to be the case. So you can set your watch by it. Whether it actually is or not, Gordon, is another matter, and one we'll then debate for fun. But the way this works, the way people's bias works, is it's already been decided, and then the same will happen. That's the thing. We're going to get the mirror image at Ibrox in a couple of weeks.
We always say before the game, hope we're not talking about the referee at the end of the game, but it must be a real difficult job for a referee, because they're only human. They're in there. This game will be played at such a pace. 60,000 Celtic supporters screaming for every decision. It'll be the same at Ibrox when it goes to Ibrox. But the good thing is, these guys are experienced officials. Doesn't mean to say they're going to get things wrong, but we'll go back to the VAR was brought in to try and help them. So hopefully we will be talking about the game.
Well, the last meeting, everyone was saying VAR's carnage, it's chaos, it's bound to come to a head at Hampden. Barely a mention. So you never know. Thank you to Darren. What are you all thinking then about these injury doubts? I saw Twitter awash with rumour and speculation about the likes of Rio Hatate, Greg Taylor. We've not heard from either manager yet this week, so it's a bit quiet in terms of updates. Nicholas Raskin would be the obvious one for Rangers, having missed the last two league games at either side of the international break. So for both sets of fans, how important are those names mentioned? How keen are you for the right type of update from your manager tomorrow? It's a good time to let us know, and we will take your call next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Can I just say, I'm actually impressed with your concentration level so far, given that big telly behind me, it's the first time I've turned round, and you've got the Masters on behind me. You've come dressed like a golfer for the occasion as well. I thought you would be eyes
my
wandering.
My own gambit was about golf.
You've done quite well. I think you've focused. You've behaved.
Yeah, it's only day one, but the real doesn't start at 8 o'clock. So I'm all yours for the people who's listening. I'm all yours to 8 o'clock.
Do you think you've
sharpened
your focus because you two were cruelly separated earlier this week, and you've been reunited?
Well, I needed a break from him.
Should have heard him on Tuesday.
I'm not kidding you on.
Oh, Sid Simon, it's great to have a real Celtic legend next to me and all that stuff.
He was telling me about the
breaking days
trip and, you know, rubbing shoulders with the real Celtic legends, and
like
it must have been a
Trevor
great
Sinclair.
Sitting in that bus singing, "We don't need Wilson."
Shows you how fickle he is, because at no point did he express any bitterness that you chose Simon to go to.
I was going to say, did you not bring that up?
No, he didn't. Not
once. You should have played back some of his clips. Slaughtering Sid.
Listen, I've changed my mind about him. He's a lovely guy. It must have been all your problems, but just to be with a real Celt, you know, somebody a real Celt.
Do you remember him playing?
No, this was the best bit about it.
Oh, this is the other thing.
Yeah. So I'm standing here casually. You know, I don't talk about my career. That's gone. That's bye.
I like to keep it under wraps.
And I then realised, and Simon actually says to me, that he played in the cup final against me.
Simon brought it up.
He stood there.
Why would he bring that up?
He says, "Daz, it's an honour to stand with a captain who raised the trophy above his head in 94. I say, Simon, it's very noble of you. You would never have said that."
Noble of you. Who have you heard saying the word noble today?
He's never used that, has he?
He's never used that. Watch a film or something today.
I don't know, that just come into my way of thinking.
He does have a very extensive vocabulary, I'm sure you will agree. Andy is on the line. Andy, how are you?
Evening, Gordon. How are you doing, all right?
Yeah, can't complain, Andy. What are you thinking tonight?
Good, man. I've got a point to make if I've got time to come back. It's basically just about Big Marvin Duff's reaction last night, a team that was proposed by a Rangers fan. But if you've got time, we'll go back to Biff. No, it's that thing you're talking about if the crowd makes a difference and how you can measure it and stuff. There's a wee point I was going to make, and I don't know if the guys who kicked the ball agree, that perversely, it could actually go in Rangers' favour slightly on Saturday. Because I've been in Partizan crowds before, and if Rangers were to score a goal, they go one up, which I doubt, the fans, even if it was only 700, react. And Celtic fans, and I suppose Rangers fans, be the same. A lot of times when you respond, it's to shut them up. so the fans get back on sooner rather than allow the other fans to react. But that's just a wee mini point. I've actually got
I quite like it, Andy. That's what we're here for tonight, are these theories, Mark Wilson, because we don't have a lot to go on. We mentioned John Collins in 94. We mentioned, you know, Celtic 3 Rangers 0 last season. Celtic scored after 5 minutes. So obviously it becomes an advantage then, because it was like party mode from then on. And even if it was about, and it probably did, obviously I wasn't there, I think I was in here, if it dipped slightly before half time, Celtic score 42 and 44 minutes, and then the roof comes off and the game is done. Andy's a Celtic fan, by the way, so I don't know if he's a doomsday merchant, but he's kind of spun it the other way, that can it take something away from a home crowd if you don't have an away crowd to feed off it, and again, if the game maybe isn't going brilliantly or it goes a bit flat or whatever?
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, Andy's obviously thought about that. If Rangers score first, again, I've been at Celtic Park many a time on the pitch when things aren't going the way of the team and a few grumbles start creeping in and you feel the pressure crank up. Maybe Rangers players will take that away as well. If they can silence the crowd for large periods and maybe get themselves in front, then it becomes difficult for the Celtic players to deal with that. So I suppose you can look at it that way.
I'm going the other way here. I think that with all Celtic fans in there, and I'll say also at Ibrox, so I'm only talking because it's a Celtic, but I think if Rangers scored 1-0, I don't think that's got to silence the Celtic fans. I think that the players on the pitch get the energy from the fans. You know, I think if one of the teams got to one of these games, it was 3 or 4. Yeah, it certainly would, because they would all leave in their droves. But I don't think with scoring a goal would silence it. And I know Andy makes a great point about trying to shut the opposition fans up by saying, right, we're going to out-sing you to encourage our own players. But in a game like this, the importance of it, especially Saturday, even if Rangers had to score the first goal, I think the Celtic fans would still react. I think it'll be the same at Ibrox as well. So yeah, I see his point, but I don't think it'll be a big major factor coming to this weekend.
What else did you have for us, Andy?
Oh, just quickly, there actually is a barometer for this season that you can measure it, to be fair. If you look at the Hampden game as being the neutral game, 2-0 Celtic becomes the benchmark. You go to Celtic Park with only 700 Rangers fans, you get +2 for Celtic, it was 4-0. Go to Ibrox, we only 700 Celtic fans, it's +2 for Rangers, it's 2 each. So with 700 fans less, it means Celtic's going to win 5-0 on Saturday.
Andy, you've got no idea how confused you've just made Gordon Dalziel.
Oh, I was trying to work that out. I had the calculator out.
I've not seen you as confused since the United States of
Andy
Ireland.
Andy must have been sitting all day figuring that out.
Now that is a theory.
Look, I think that every Celtic...
How are you about to react to a theory that you don't even understand?
Yeah, I'm going to try and bluff it. That's what I'm going to try
don't
and
need,
do.
No need, because we're fast approaching. Okay, I was looking forward to that answer.
The biggest bluff you will ever hear on Super Scoreboard.
We're fast approaching the news, so if Andy, if you do have your other point, take it away.
Well, just last night, there was a Rangers fan who had said he'd thought an awful lot about the team, and he'd a front four at Tolman, Chantwell, Kent and Sakala. And I was quite surprised that Duff and Big Marv... And they tended to agree that it was a good approach to get in behind Celtic. I actually hope that Rangers go with that sort of formation, because they'll get hammered. They may well score a goal with that formation, but when Celtic are counter-press and they get there's four of their players who are on the goal side, Celtic will run amok with that. So I was just surprised with the reaction of Duff and Big Marvin to say that it may well be an option. I think Celtic would absolutely kill Rangers if they do that.
I actually said on Saturday, I wonder if Rangers would go for Sakala. Now, they've tried Cholak, they've tried Morelos, not much joy out of both. I know Morelos scored, but I think for a bit of pace and to stretch Celtic, I could see Michael Beale going with Sakala through the middle. And see, if I'm honest, I think Starfelt and Carter Vickers would find that more difficult playing against Sakala than Morelos and Cholak through the middle. From what I've seen in these games previously, I think Carter Vickers, Starfelt, quite happy to play against Morelos and battle away with him, and he's never going to run away from them. But as a defender, when you know you're playing against out and out pace, that's a different story.
Not for me. I think that I remember watching when they went for that formation with Sakala. I think it was in Europe, they played him as a lone striker up front. He was terrible. Can't play that position. He was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Yes,
terrible.
Yeah, I'm trying to exaggerate it a little bit. I don't think. Look, I see the method and what you're trying to say, But I do not think that Sakala would start as the number nine. I think he'll go with Colak and Morelos.
Thank you to Andy. It's that time of the night already. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Big relief last night. The Pundits were on a 7-game winning streak. Gordon Dalziel even won on Tuesday. The contestant last night was unbelievable. Answered 7 questions, got everyone right.
7 out of 7?
He was superb.
Who was he playing?
And then we even gave him the chance to go on and try and get the 10, because you know that's what we do. Question number 8, got it. Question number 9, got it. But he had already heard an extra question, if you like, from the pundit. So I just made up one in my head, and he didn't get it right. So we robbed him of the 10. But he was magnificent.
Who did he beat?
It was Jim Duffy, wasn't it? He beat last night. So
nah, but it's a different kettle of fish on a Thursday.
Well, you're right, it is. Oh. Oh, you better believe it. And not in a good way.
Two giants who they beat the pundit.
Well, 01419511025. You need to get your calls in before 7 if you want to play Beat the Pundit. So let's hear from you right now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson reunited. They missed each other desperately on Tuesday, but they're back. They're looking ahead to Saturday, of course. Lots of talk about what impact, if any, the no away allocation has on the football match. We've given that a good old go. If you want to keep going on it, that's of course up to you. Maybe an ideal way we could move things on a bit. We did float the idea earlier. What about these injuries then? We've not had the update yet on Nicholas Raskin, Rio Hatate, Greg Taylor, to name but a few. How important are those types of guys? How desperate are you for the right type of update tomorrow? Give us all your thoughts on that and how that could influence things. 01419511025, and we'll get to you straight after this. So get in touch. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Okay, Beat the Pundit time. They talk about pressure off, free hit, clean slate. Use whatever football cliche you like. It applies tonight because the Pundits were on a 7-game winning run. Along came last night's contestant, wiped the floor with Jim Duffy, and we're back to square one, to use a phrase I read from Conor Goldson in the press today. So David is a Rangers fan on the line. How are you, David? Are you well?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Yeah, not bad. Are you, David, pretty much everyone that takes part these days is a first-time caller for Beat the Pundit. Same for you?
Yep, same good. For me.
Good,
yep.
good. I like it. How do you do at home? Generally okay?
Yeah, normally get about maybe 3 or 4.
That sounds fine to me.
Nah, it's not going to be enough tonight. Nah, David,
not against the mic.
You'll need up your game, son. We carry big shadows in here and Beat the Pundit.
Oh, big shadows, all right. Oh. Believe me, I'm looking at that wall behind you, and I would agree with that assessment.
I've never seen a Nike tick that big.
Anyway, heads it will be Mark Wilson, tails it is Gordon Dalziel, and it's heads. It is Mr. Nike Tick himself.
Oh, big Nike.
I've been out the loop.
Is this for Rory McIlroy and
I bummed you up.
Tiger
come on.
Woods.
Okay.
Well, you've been away.
I've been away, so David, it's a good chance for you.
Yeah. How was your Is that a staycation? Is that what you would call that?
It was, aye, but we got the weather, so got a wee bit of sun about me.
He walked up a hill, walked down a hill.
Oh, he's a big outdoors type.
Aye, bores it. Like, I've sent photos of up a hill.
He loves his walking boots, doesn't he?
Yeah, throws a occasional dog into the picture.
That wasn't even mine. I just got a dog through somebody. Jump in here for a photo, mate.
Anyway, Mark Wilson, let's give you something else to listen to. Turn up nice and loud for you as well. David, are you ready?
Yep.
30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know. That's the only advice I've got, okay?
No bother.
Right, let's go then. Your time starts now. Name any Celtic player who's won the Players' Player of the Year award twice.
Callum McGregor.
Who was the last Rangers manager to beat Celtic at Celtic Park?
Steven Gerrard.
Which former Scotland international plays for Sporting Kansas City?
Johnny Russell.
Who's won more home games this season, Motherwell or Dundee United?
Motherwell.
Name the last Scottish team managed by Owen Coyle before Queen's Park.
Pass.
How many league titles has Greg Taylor won?
Two.
Alright. Mark Wilson, how are you? Can you hear us?
Yeah, back.
Enjoy that.
I was listening to Greatest Hits Radio.
Exactly, it's all changed.
Yeah. Rebranded.
When you left, it had a different name.
That was Clyde too, aye,
now
last
you're back.
Week.
Now you just don't mention Ken that anymore. Come on. If this is to work, any good rebrand, you don't mention.
Oh, we can't mention Clyde too.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I've done it again.
Never heard of it.
Sorry. Greatest hits. We're all behind
Dab.
I mean, for instance,
loves greatest hits.
I've got a hit list of managers in the league who still call it the SPL after all this time.
It's quite difficult
to get it right.
Greatest hits.
By the way, this is easy tonight. I'm so confident of you.
You ready, Mark?
Okay.
Oh, I've turned your mic off. That's a problem. Right, 30 seconds. Same set of questions. Time starts now. Name any Celtic player who's won the Players Player of the Year award twice.
Cal McGrath.
Who was the last Rangers manager to beat Celtic at Celtic Park?
Steve Gerrard.
Which former Scotland international plays for Sporting Kansas City?
Ryan Gold.
Who's won more home games this season, Motherwell or Dundee United?
Motherwell.
Name the last Scottish team Owen Coyle managed before Queen's Park.
Airdrie.
How many league titles has Greg Taylor won?
Well, two.
That was hopeless.
That was
Ian Johnson.
No.
Who?
Like Ross County.
Oh, absolutely did.
Four, 5 seasons ago.
Oh, he's. I'm just hoping David is a bit better than that.
David, you must be at least a bit confident after hearing him. I know he said he was out of the loop. I didn't realise they'd left the planet for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed.
Oh, David's confident.
You both went Callum McGregor.
Took me a while
James
to get
Forrest.
There.
So nothing gives. It's Henrik Larsson or Scott Brown.
Oh, so McGregor's not won?
Twice, remember. They won it twice.
Oh.
I don't think he has. I don't, Callum McGregor hasn't won the.
I would have went Forrest or Larsson.
Larsson or Brown. The last Rangers manager to beat Celtic at Celtic Park, Steven Gerrard, both got it. Johnny Russell.
Who does Gold play for?
Vancouver. Come on.
Different country.
And this David is where, didn't get that, did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was 2-1 in front.
David.
This is where you come into your own, Gordon Dale, because you like the mind games, don't you?
Yeah.
So you're thinking, who's won more home games this season, Motherwell or
Dundee United?
Oh, it's bound to be Motherwell because they're higher up. No,
it's Dundee United.
Really?
Motherwell's home record has been terrible.
But I just thought that recent form, I kept well.
So
no.
You both, 4-3 it is. So you both fell for it. So it's still 2-1 to David. None of you got Ross County. Was Owen Coyle's last Scottish
tough one.
Club. Greg Taylor, Mark Wilson. Some guess. He's won 2 league titles.
Is that a tiebreaker?
David got it as well.
Oh yes, David.
Well done, David.
Thank you.
Good
well,
man.
Done, David.
All is on its way.
Aye, good guess, David.
You are
David's
very
a Rangers fan as well. He's hoping that's the start of the victories this week.
That's the only one you're getting this week, David.
Yeah, that's the difference between a ball, David, Wilson or DL.
Well done, David. 2 in a row for the pun. The listeners, sorry.
So I was poor, mate.
Chance to win the week tomorrow.
You know, got a signal up the house.
Downtime. Run about the golf courses. So,
no, because let's assess. None of the questions you got wrong.
Were
had anything to do in the last week.
I know.
So
I'm still in holiday mode.
Think that
my mind's still in holiday mode.
Is going to wash.
That was poor. You've let the side down. I can make excuses for Duff. 7 out of 7. But David, what was that? 3-4 again? Quite easy.
No, it's 3-2.
3-2. That's no entertainment.
I'll be back. I'll regroup. I'll be back next Tuesday.
You better get rid of that shadow.
Obviously, we're about to get back to the football on Saturday, so keep the calls coming. 01419511025. Maybe we can move on to revisiting team selection or injury worries. I said it before, no update yet on Raskin, Hatate, Taylor, etc. How important are those updates going to be tomorrow? Just very quickly, I want to take regular listeners of the show down memory lane ever so slightly, and I'll explain it quickly for those who haven't heard this story. Do you remember that fateful day in here when there were pictures taken of some of the presenters and the pundits, and Mark was the only one that turned up out of the pundits, and the photographer told him he looked like a young Richard Gere.
Yeah.
Now, we had great fun with that because you're thinking, I mean, ridiculous, of course he doesn't. Disturbingly, yesterday, I finally got the pictures released, right? I've been wondering, where are these pictures? I'm needing a new picture, right?
Has he seen these yet?
He hasn't, right? So I'm going to show them now. This only works slightly on radio because the people can't see it. I might put it on Twitter if I'm feeling brave enough. So I got the pictures back. And I must admit, I'm flicking through them thinking, he just caught up with me. I'm not looking great there. Don't like that one. Don't like that one. And you might remember, I told you at the time, it was only him and I. And for some reason, I kept saying to
put these together.
What is the point in Mark Wilson and me, just the two of us? It doesn't make sense because I mean, this sounds as if like it has to be me or nothing. That's not what I mean. But either, do you know what I mean? It needs to be us all, or at least a couple of us. Hugh Keevans, get involved yourself. I'm thinking, why just pictures of him and I? It's never going to work. And they kept saying, go and get a little bit closer, go and get a little bit closer.
I love where this is going.
Do you see how bad this is? It
looks like we've just started a relationship.
Let's see.
But it's a bit. It's awkward, isn't it?
That could be your profile picture.
Look like we're about to kiss. Which you've nothing
against. Well, it's, I think it's some of the fact that Mark's got his tongue out there. I'm not. He's gone for a full shop.
I mean, seriously. How unnecessary is that?
I'd put that on Twitter. You've got to.
Because the thing is. Aside from how close we are,
yeah,
it's also I didn't realise that's how bad I looked. I must admit, fatherhood's caught up with me.
By the way, that's a good photo. That could be.
You're joking.
See,
me,
like a wedding photo type thing.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, is that get that framed and get it up in your toilet. The two of you.
Why the toilet?
Because that's where you put photos of people, isn't it?
In the toilet.
Yeah, you'll know that.
Is it? If you say so.
We'll keep just, that one quiet.
Just adjourn the break.
That's up my cough. Well, if you ever give me a hard time.
01419511025. Hold on a minute. Is there a steward's inquiry? Someone's tweeted me to say that David on the line said Greg Taylor had won 3 league titles. I'm sure he said 2.
Podcast.
Play it back.
Just to confirm.
I think he said 2, but the guys can listen back and.
Aye, Ross.
Listen, to be fair,
you didn't deserve it, mate.
You'll lose the tiebreaker anyway.
You didn't. What was the tiebreaker?
I'm not going to tell you because we might need to.
If that's the case,
we might need to use it tomorrow.
But who's on? Hugh?
Hugh and Kenny.
No, you
need to use it in 10 minutes. If we get that clip back.
01419511025.
Move your mic around there a wee bit.
Stay far away from me. Brooke is on the line. What's your point tonight, Brooke?
So it's just basically about the guy that was on before Super Scoreboard mentioning the 4 players. Wait, did he say that Ryan Kent as well with Tillman and Sakala?
Oh right, yeah, the previous caller said he was a Celtic fan and he thought that if Kent and Sakala and Cantwell and Tillman played, that would suit Celtic. But do you disagree, Brooke? Is that why you've called?
I disagree with that 100% because he's clearly not took a look at Ryan Kent's stats this season, because Ryan Kent has been tracking back the whole time, like helping out his other teammates. Same with Fashion Sakala, he tracks back constantly to help out Rangers as well.
So is that what you would do, Brooke? Would you leave out Čolak and Morelos?
Personally, yeah, I would. I would leave out obviously they two, and then I'd think I'd play obviously that front four that thingy.
Yeah,
because I just think that Fashion Sakala brings the speed into the team.
I'm fascinated by this because the guys last night, Jim and Marvin, of course understand it, talking about, well, you know, you might need to come up with a specific plan for this fixture because it's tough and you're going to need to fight, maybe think outside the box to try and beat a good opponent. I feel like if you sort of zoom out in a general sense, you go into arguably your biggest game of the season or one of them, and neither of your recognised number nines are deemed good enough to start the match. That's the bit that I find. Not that I disagree with it, but that would make it a big deal for me from the outside.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you need a focal point, especially away from home, when you're going to be probably under pressure quite a lot. I think you need someone that can take the ball. Now, Sakala, off the right-hand side with pace, yes, he can find areas. Centrally, if all Celtic would have to do, Minute Rangers get the ball, don't give them any space in behind. Sakala can't play. He's back to goals. We've seen it before. He can't play as a centre forward, right? He'll play off the right hand side where he sees a better picture of the game.
Argument again.
But this is the thing. We're ignoring the last Fashion Sakala, maybe not on his own, but plays centrally quite a lot recently for Rangers. But he doesn't.
Did Sakala not score at Celtic Park his own last season where he was playing centrally? Where who was the manager? Stephen Gerrard, the manager.
Last
season, Van Bronckhorst, sorry. Changed things up and he put him. Have I got that right?
Yeah, you have.
Late in the second half.
He scores, yeah.
Right, late in the second half. Look, I'll tell you what, I'll be very surprised if Michael Beale goes in there. I can see all the ideas of it, but I don't think he'll get in there. And you've made a great point, Gordon. You're going to Celtic Park, you've got two recognised centre-forwards, out-and-out centre-forwards, mm-hmm. and you're not playing them for, you know, the fact to Sakala.
I did say, though, I didn't say that makes it wrong, because it's also all right saying a focal point. What if that focal point, those focal points, just aren't contributing the way they should be?
Yeah,
just
but
do it anyway.
I think that what Mark's talking about, I think you can look at that change later on in the game. If, i.e., your things aren't going well, you just need to mix something up, and Celtic are pressing, there's a bit of space in behind, let's use a bit of pace, get Sakala more central. I can take all that on board, but I don't think you go to Celtic Park in front of 60,000 supporters, want to win a game, and start with Sakala as your main number nine man.
Brooke, how confident are you from a Rangers perspective?
Well, obviously, that supporting Rangers, right, is that it's not a Christmas present. I've always been a Rangers fan, and I always will. Like, so, and obviously, I back them every single game. So I'm quite confident that we're going to get something out of it.
And Mark, that's it. That's what it does. Sometimes it's faith, hope, call it what you want. I wouldn't really grudge anyone the chance to do that. In terms of at Celtic Park, we've had our fun with allocations earlier. As Gordon mentioned, there was a point there at the end of last season. It was a Sakala equaliser,
yeah,
to cancel
right,
out
yeah.
The Jota opener. Other than that, they've obviously been the heavy ones. And I know one of the earlier callers said, "Ah, but if you go back, you know, 2 and 3 years, then you know, we've shown that we can win there." Those examples are just not great, because it wasn't Ange Postecoglou's Celtic team. So yeah, it's tough really to give them too much relevance.
But I think Brooke and other Rangers fans will still be optimistic about it. You know, they'll see players like Kent and Tillman and guys with real creativity who can hurt most defences. They see them week in, week out, so they'll think that it's achievable at Celtic Park. It's unlikely for me, because you, again, a good point is this Postecoglou side. Touching on Sakala, I think Michael Beale might think about playing him in terms of pressing, not just leading the line and grabbing your goals, but sure, in terms of pressing mm-hmm. Celtic. I think with Morelos, you're a man down when Celtic have possession at the back. He's not going to charge about the back line, so you might just think of Sakala in that respect also.
Brooke, Nicholas Raskin hasn't played the last two games, and there was so much talk about him being left out of the cup game recently. How important is it he makes it for you?
Well, obviously, he gives the team obviously another bit of quality, and it would be good to have him back. But if it's just too early for him, then obviously there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, well, we'll get an indication tomorrow. Michael Beale tends to be pretty open about these things. I wonder if he'll use this to keep his cards close to his chest for the first time ever.
We had this argument in the semis, didn't we? And it was all about Raskin and Cantwell should have played. And it didn't happen.
Cantwell will 100% play though. Yeah.
But I am not saying that Rangers would win the game if Raskin's played, but I like Raskin with Jack. I think they make a great partnership. Rangers' best performance this season was away at Easter Road. They too were absolutely brilliant in the middle of the park. So if you've got any chance, I think you've got a better chance with they two playing as your two sitting midfield players in there to try and combat the strength of Celtic.
Brilliant, Brooke. You spoke far more sense than these two, so we might see you in here in a couple of years. That was Brooke from Helensburgh. And you can call as well, 01419511025. Let's hear it.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025, and it's Twitter at Clyde SSB as we build up to Saturday's big one here in Glasgow at lunchtime. There are, of course, four big games thereafter in the afternoon: Aberdeen, Kelly, Hearts, St Mirren, Motherwell, Livy, and St Johnstone, Ross County. Dundee United, Hibs is Sunday as well. Just looking through. I've got your full time teaser. Better get that up and running as well. Yeah. I must admit, it's a bit of a try to think, because this question's been sent in. It's got 15 answers on it. That's too many, right, I must admit.
Nah.
Just for you two. So I'm going to chop it.
35.
I'm going to chop it a bit for you, right? Well, let's just do the five, right? Because it's a busy show. So we'll do you only the Rangers version of this question. We're only looking for five Rangers players, okay, who've scored in the group stages of both the UEFA Cup / Europa League and the Champions League. Ooh. So they must have scored in the group stages of both UEFA Cup / Europa League and the Champions League.
Morelos one?
No, he is not.
Tavernier?
Yes, he is. And can you show us your working there?
I certainly cannot.
He just went with the cap. Aribo?
When did Aribo score in the Champions League group stages?
I have
for
no idea, for but Rangers? I thought that was a great guess.
No, you're going to need to put a bit more thought into it. If
Nacho Novo.
Wow, Mark Wilson. Welcome
Where
to the
your
party.
Where's your thinking there?
You might have been stinking the place out at Beat the Pundit, but that was not too bad at all. And all of a sudden, you've only got three left. So we're looking for five Rangers players who've scored in the group stages of both Europa League / UEFA Cup and the Champions League. Nacho Novo and James Tavernier. I like that.
That was good. Thanks.
Brilliant. Good, good.
We said Midnight and got that.
Don't forget, fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to send your question. And Brian's on Twitter. He says, don't forget Falkirk Dunfermline on Saturday. Biggest game of the day, he says.
Well, that is a big game.
It's a lot.
Be a good crowd.
Oh, it will be. Massive.
Is that at Falkirk Stadium?
It is. Yeah, Falkirk against Dunfermline.
I'll be keeping an eye on that. Yeah. Good game.
Try to think. So, what, half 12? You could go along if you wanted.
I said I'd be keeping an eye on it. Right. I didn't say I would keep my backside in a seat. I think there's a difference.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't be able to fight through the traffic after the.
I couldn't find Falkirk Stadium. It's one that.
Really easy.
Is right it? Beside the motorway.
Really easy.
Got what, two like, big horses, metal right. horses beside
follow,
it as well.
you're pretty close.
Is it? I'm very bad at sort of.
I've again. Noticed that.
Everything.
Tynecastle's a killer. It's very
cross the motorway and drive in a straight line.
No, you've got to go around roundabouts left, right, no, down the
no,
slip road.
You go straight through the roundabouts mostly.
Easter Road's a difficult one.
That's harder, yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah. But still not.
Yeah, there's a few. Try to get to Fir Park's a nightmare.
You are bad at directions, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, very bad.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Very bad. Sat nav for me.
Tynecastle's.
No, it's not. Tynecastle's hard. The amount of times that. I've ended up at Murrayfield's incredible.
That's just round the corner.
I know, but I still end up at Murrayfield.
How does he make it through a day? That's what I just can't quite get my head around that. Honestly. 0141 951 1025. Kevin is on the line. Kevin, what are you thinking ahead of this weekend?
How's everybody doing? You alright?
Yeah, good, good, good.
Listen, as always, just like before, the last time we played the Rangers, I'm just extremely confident that, especially when we were at home, I think that Hatate's a bit of a doubt. I've not really listened to much of the show, sorry. I was working and just finished. I don't know if he's definitely out or if he's 50-50. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
there is no definite, Kevin. I know there was stuff on Twitter about people looking at, I think, images or shots of Celtic training and seeing no Hatate and no Taylor. Ange Postecoglou doesn't speak until the media tomorrow. And he's quite a guarded character anyway, so who knows what type of update there would be. How important are those two? Sum that up.
This is probably going to sound a bit strange, right? But I think Taylor's more important because I think we've got enough in midfield to cope with Rangers. I think I don't mean to come across as arrogant. Well, maybe I do a wee bit of arrogant. But I think we're that far in front of Rangers in midfield. He'll be all right for cover, but Taylor has been absolutely excellent this season. So he'll be the big smith, I think, just experience wise. But I'm extremely confident going in. I had a wee chuckle to myself with Derek earlier, saying that they've done all right at Celtic Park recently. Well, I read a stat on Sky Sports the other day there that said the Rangers have won 4 of the last 40 or something like that at Parkhead, something like that. They've only won 4 times, so I don't know where he's getting his confidence from, but. I'm sure confident. I think it's got to be another 3-0. That's maybe 4. So I'm sure confident that way. I had a second point about the fans. I don't know if you just to make that.
Yeah, let's go for the sort of team stuff first, because we probably should have got around to it a bit earlier in truth, Mark. We don't know yet. I'll stress that. Kevin thinks Greg Taylor is more important than Reo Hitati.
Oh, it's a big call.
Discuss.
Look, Hitati for me has been up there with the player of the season. But I get what Kevin means, that there's quality to come in and replace
Aaron
Hitati
Moy
in there.
Appears to have returned to training.
Yeah, so you would think, you know, Celtic are pretty strong in that area. But I get his argument, because Taylor, remember, went off at Ibrox. Celtic were firmly on top at that point, and then the wheels kind of came off a wee bit, and Rangers got joy down that side. Juranovic came on, played there, had a nightmare, and he was a big miss that day. The way Taylor's been playing is excellent. So if you're substituting him for Burnley, I think that's an area, if Michael Beale looks at and Taylor's missing, would be an area that you would highlight in your team talk and say we can get a Celtic down that side. So I get Kevin's argument that Celtic have got strength in numbers in the midfield area, whether the backup, even though Burnley scores a terrific goal on Saturday, the backup for left back isn't quite strong.
I mean, you don't have to choose, obviously. It's just hypothetical, Gordon. If you were Ange Postecoglou, you could pick one of those two to make it. Who are you picking?
Great debate. See, I like Burnley. I know that he's still a bit short just now, but he would get into the game full of confidence after coming off the bench at Ross County and scoring a terrific goal. It puts the game to bed. So for that, I just think Hitati is such a key player for Celtic.
Well,
I know what you're saying about
best player on the pitch at Hampden.
Who, Hitati?
Was it? I'm asking you, because I feel like I remember those discussions.
I think he's the kind of
4-0 scores too, yeah, doesn't he?
I think he's the kind of guy in these games that can dominate the game. Right, I think, look, Greg Taylor's been terrific for Celtic. Take on board, he would be a massive miss. But if it was me, I would probably want Hitati on my side on Saturday.
What do you think, Kevin? He's slightly in disagreement with you. Can you see that logic, given how good he was in the semi-final and what he's done at Celtic Park previously?
Listen, it's 50-50. It's not a slight on Reo Hitati. Yeah. Reo Hitati and Callum McGregor are by far the two best players in Scotland. By a country mile, they're the two best players in Scotland. But I just think, what I meant was, if you cover as aspect, we could cope without Hitati more than we could cope without Taylor. Burnaby is raw. I've been watching Burnaby for a few years, actually, but he's just really raw. Greg Taylor is right on top of his game now at left back, and to give Rangers their credit, they are good out wide. And Greg Taylor's got them sussed, so that's why I just think we would miss him a wee bit there. But
it's almost the kind of the tailor-made, if you pardon the pun, suitability to that inverted fullback role, isn't it, Mark? He's taken to it so seamlessly.
Well, you know, I heard people saying before he started his footballing career as a midfielder, so he's always comfortable going into that, you know, part of the park. And Celtic, the way that Celtic played just fits him. So there's no doubt about it. With the ball, I think it's a huge miss if he doesn't make it. But Kevin's right, defensively, I think Taylor's far better than what Burnaby is. So it would be a big loss.
Interesting to see what it would mean in the middle of the park, because a couple of weeks ago, if Hitati didn't make it, Matt O'Reilly would just come in. That would be it, yeah?
Yeah.
And Adam would be it. So McGregor, Moy and O'Reilly, if Hitati didn't make it. You just wonder what Iwata's done to that equation. Got his first league start at Dingwall. It would be quite something to then make his second league start in this one. So yeah, Aaron Moy is presumably back available.
If Moy's fit, Moy plays, of course. But Iwata, I mean, hearing good things about him, how he's impressed in training, and
that's
a real standout.
It could still be both, and it could be Matt O'Reilly that then
and misses out. And we wouldn't have said that long ago. O'Reilly was one of the first names on the team sheet. It just shows the strength and depth that Celtic have got, and when one isn't on it, another one just comes and steps up.
I think your best three of Hitati is certainly Moy, O'Reilly and McGregor.
Even right now,
I know he's not playing games can change your form. These games can bring out the best in you.
I know the standards are high. I'm not saying it's this huge drop off, but it does feel like most of the Celtic fans I see on social media don't feel Matt O'Reilly's quite at it right now.
I agree with him. I think it was the Easter Road. I remember sitting. It was
Postecoglou was lavishing praise on Iwata last week. Talked about him being the best. Well, not the I'm paraphrasing, not necessarily the best player on the pitch, but it was words to that effect about how, you know, handled the game the best or something.
Look, he's not frightened to go and play him. He'll make big decisions. He's not frightened of that, but Postecoglou, that's for sure. I can take on board about O'Reilly because, as I say, I watched him at Easter Road a few months back and I thought he's sort of in, he's dipped a little bit in his form. He went off and he was on the bench and he'd come on. I just think in games like this, these are the kind of games that can turn your form. They really can. They're such important games. The atmosphere that goes with it, Celtic, 60,000 at Parkhead. The fact that you know that if you go and win this game, there's absolutely, you've just shut the door completely on your rivals. I think, me personally, I would probably still stick with O'Reilly.
Kevin, what was your other point?
So I was just saying to the producer earlier, right, the point about the fans is a couple of mini points in the one point, if you like, but this is the biggest derby in Europe, be an absolute landslide, right? But I watch a lot of South American football, and the one right next to it is Boca Juniors and River Plate. And do you know what? They've banned away fans as well because of what happened a couple of seasons ago in their Copa Libertadores, right? So, and it's just, it's not the same game, right? It's just not the same. And Rangers and Celtic need to sit down, they need to get on the table and they need to fix this, because the people that are missing out is the proper fans. They go to the games, want to enjoy it, want the banter. They're the ones that are missing out. But at the same point, I would just like to pick up again what Derek, Rangers fans Derek said, was, before he starts getting himself into his pub at night, it was Rangers that started all of this. So, I mean, they're the ones that started it all. So, but both of the clubs need to get their heads a wobble, because it's not the same fixtures. People across Britain, we always have a go at England for not recognising your game. This is your flagship game, and they're going to be looking at it and going, where's the Rangers fans? It's not the same. So they need to get it fixed, because we're robbing the new age fans, the younger fans that have never experienced it before. They're robbing them. Mark Wilson's grew up a Celtic fan, I've grew up a Celtic fan, been to plenty of the games. There's nothing like it, and these new generations of fans are just getting robbed yet. It's not right.
I've seen that point made, Mark. Look, it is a bit more complex in the sense of how you quickly fix it, because we've mentioned earlier season tickets in those seats and whatever, like, so we're all familiar with that. But it'd be interesting to know these sort of young Celtic and Rangers fans that go everywhere must be annoyed at their dads or their uncles saying, we used to go. Did you ever go to Ibrox as an
I wasn't allowed. No, as a kid I wasn't allowed. I went when I was a Celtic player and I was injured, and I went. Wasn't a great experience. Got beat 1-0, so that wasn't great.
What game was that?
I think one Stephen Davis slid in the back post. You remember that? 1-0. But you're right, because
so you just sit in amongst the fans for those games.
Who don't recognise him?
Nobody recognised me.
Why are you going away to the bus?
You weren't on your own.
No, it was me, my dad.
Right, I thought you meant like injured players from the squad.
Sometimes you've done that, but I went myself. I went, okay. And that's the only time I went. In the away end at Ibrox. But you're right, the stories, some of the best away days that Celtic fans will have would have came at Ibrox, and vice versa for Rangers fans. Some of their greatest away days would have came when they went to Celtic Park and won. So it's a shame that these young upcoming supporters who are filling our game with lots of colour now don't get to experience it.
I was very fortunate. I experienced a few Rangers Celtic games, especially at Ibrox. And amongst the fans, Gordon.
But the away end we're talking
away
about.
End.
Away end. Yeah.
I've been to Celtic Park.
I've been to Celtic Park as well. And people will be saying, oh, there you go, Rangers support. No, it wasn't. I was just there at spying for Motherwell. I was working for him. I was an S.
How are you? Thanks for clearing that up.
I was an S form, so I would go along just to experience the atmosphere. And the guy always says to me, "One day you will grace this."
Turn on his mic off. I love Kevin's comparison to Boca Juniors River Plate. The thought that there is an Argentinian equivalent of Wilson and DL out there somewhere taking calls on this subject.
I'd be Kempes with my long hair. Remember him?
With your long hair, you've got a bald patch.
On my heyday, when I had the feather cut and the short trousers, shorts.
By the way,
trousers.
That bald patch is getting worse. No, that's how it works. To be fair,
hold on.
How do you fix that? It's not going to regenerate. It's going to need to
sprinkle some seeds on.
I'll tell you what. Guess where I'm going my holiday?
Turkey. Thank you to Kevin on 01419511025. Only 5 answers on tonight's teaser, so it's doable. And it's a good one. can you name? So it's, I think it's since, this is just a bit of background, since 2005-06, because that was the kind of UEFA Cup group stages when they started. So can you name five Rangers players who've scored in the UEFA Cup or Europa League, because it rebranded group stages, and the Champions League group stages? You've given me one from recently, James Tavernier and Nacho Novo. Give me a name. No. Mark, give me another name.
Seriously? Wayne McCulloch.
No. We'll try and get the rest of them next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson is here. Gordon DL, as always, alongside him. Not as close as I was to him in those pictures, no, right
a
enough.
A bit jealous.
You're an off-key man, Gordon.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to bring up something that we mentioned earlier on in the show, you know, we were talking about how bad Gordon DL is with directions. Well, we all had a bit of difficulty getting in here tonight. For anyone who knows the Clydebank area, Dumbarton Road, notoriously slow, and it was very slow tonight. He's just revealed during the break that he's taking the Kincardine Bridge home, which is quite the detour.
Well, I'm going to go over, take a right over the Fourth Road and right up. That's where the traffic.
Did you mean the Erskine Bridge any chance? Right.
Yeah.
Do not go to the Kincardine Bridge from here. You're in a lot of trouble if you do that. Yeah. Right. Thanks to Cahir, who sent the teaser in tonight, and it's a good one. Full time at Clyde1.com, looking for five Rangers players who've scored in the Champions League and Europa League or UEFA Cup group stages. So you've given me Tavernier and Novo. So
Barry Ferguson,
a good start. I had some people giving it a go as well on Twitter. Where did I see Raymond Taylor threw a couple in?
Barry Ferguson?
Nope.
Stephen Whittaker?
No. See, even with just five names, this is
Charlie
tough.
Adam?
No, right, I'm going to need to help you a bit.
Okay.
So talk me through the logic of James Tavernier.
Penalty kicks. Penalty kicks.
Free kicks, right, captain.
Right, hold on. Right, again, you're...
Plays right back.
Not that... Rangers haven't been in the Champions League group stages a lot recently, but they were this season, and that's obviously where you've got James Tavernier from.
So we're staying in that sort of a...
And without bringing up bad memories, Rangers didn't score that many in the Champions League this season.
Kent.
No.
Oh, unlucky.
Did you say Morelos?
No. Come on, think. This is where you two let yourself down. You just throw names.
Yeah, and we're good at it.
Without thinking.
Right, let's think.
Scotty Arfield.
Thank you. What was the game?
Liverpool.
What was the final score?
7-0,
No, honestly, not nil.
Oh, Kitchen
7-0. Arfield scored.
He scored the
It's a tough game to get on the first
day. VAR chopped it off, really. I remember it.
Listen, we've got two to get. We'll get them before. Well, we'll try and get them before the end of the show. Thanks again to Cahir for sending that in. And if you want to send your questions in, fulltime@clyde1.com on the email. That is where you need to send them. So please do. In weeks like this, it can be a challenge, as you've heard by the phone calls, for us to deviate too far away from a game like Celtic and Rangers. And not that we would be desperate to, as I appreciate what it means to lots of you out there, but it's a huge weekend everywhere, I have to say. And let's hear some interesting comments before we go from, well, we could do a few actually, but Robbie Nielsen in particular. Mark Wilson, a turbulent week. He's given his reaction after the Hearts badge, the sort of mosaic they've got outside Tynecastle, and it's very nice on a sort of, even that side of things, about the damage or the graffiti on it, with a bit of abuse aimed at him, and he was asked about it for the first time today.
It's disappointing that obviously you get graffiti there, and it's, you know, it's outside the football club, but ultimately it's football nowadays. You know, you've got to take that to chin. If you're at a big football club, if you lose a couple of games in the bounce, then, you know, people will voice their opinion, and you just got to accept it, got to move on, you know, hope it doesn't happen again. The only way we can rectify it is by winning on Saturday. Like, I think every manager that's had the longevity I've had, I've been, you know, got 300-400 games now. You know, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs. You know, the biggest thing in football nowadays is resilience, to continue to go, whether that's as a player, a coach, a manager. You've got to keep pushing forward, you've got to look to the next game, you've got to prepare properly. Hearts, for me, should be a team that are competing at the top end of the league. We are competing at the top end of the league. Yes, we'll have these dips, but it's important that we come through them like we have in the past. You know, I still think we'll finish third, and that's where we want to finish. And we're in third at the moment. We've got an opportunity on Saturday to hopefully extend that lead, and then more opportunities throughout the season to try and confirm it.
If you are angry enough to go and graffiti that sort of nice setup outside Tynecastle at the weekend, I wonder what how angry you then become if a home game against St Mirren doesn't go to plan?
I think it's a must win for Robbie. I think there's already quite a number of fans turned against him. I think if he cements third place, which we looked like it was odds on not that long ago, all of a sudden Aberdeen, St Mirren are breathing down their necks. We can use the excuse of the injury list, but you can also look at Hart's squad, the amount of quality players that they've got at their disposal. So I think he's got to get a result against a St Mirren team that will probably go there with a bit of confidence. They're chasing, you know, that third place as well. I know they're a few points off, but Aberdeen are sitting, breathing down their neck, in good form at home to Killy, who can't win away from home. So you'd imagine that would be a 3 points for Aberdeen. So it's a big, big game for Robbie at the weekend.
I always deliberately don't go anywhere near the high horse mark of telling fans who pay their hard earned, you know, how to react to things and how to get their message across. But I don't think it's too extreme to suggest that even if the sentiment's there, you know, hold up a banner, put up a banner. You know, it's a fan-owned club. The Foundation Hearts have done such good things, and the stand and the surrounding. It just feels like a bit sort of cutting off your nose to spite your face type thing to go and graffiti outside to that regard.
Completely unnecessary and silly for the Hearts fan who's actually did that. I always find it a bit weird, the relationship that Robbie's got with the Hearts fans. I think he's, you know, he played for the club, was successful at the club, managed. Every time he's managed, he seems to get them into a good place. Sitting third in the table. But I suppose Hearts fans maybe looking up at Rangers and see their team 31 points behind Rangers in second place. Is that good enough? Should that be bridged? Probably.
It's probably not that though, is it? As much as the risk that third doesn't happen.
Yeah, but I would still... Like, I would still bet on being third.
Would you?
Yes, I would. I know Aberdeen are
1 point behind.
1 point behind, but I would still bet on Hearts securing third place. But there's always an element of Hearts fans that just haven't taken to Robbie, for whatever reason that is. And Tynecastle can be a hostile place when the fans, you know, don't get fully behind you. So it's an interesting one to watch.
Would you still bet on them finishing third?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
Okay.
I think they're struggling at this moment in time. You're looking at, I think the Hearts fans are not looking down. I think they're looking at the gap. Celtic have been brilliant. It's 40 points. Hearts have got a fantastic squad. They've got terrific players. They've got a big budget. I don't think that gap, if I was a Hearts fan, should be 40 points, as much as Celtic have been excellent this season. But I think they could struggle to hold on to third, because I don't think there's any momentum with
totally
them.
Get that. And it's not to say that it's completely out of the equation, but come the end of a season, if Hearts finish third, I don't think anyone will spend their summer worrying about how far away they were from Celtic or Rangers. Do you know what I mean? It feels like it's just not as important.
But I think
if you chuck third, that's going to be the reaction to that.
I think
massive.
When things go wrong, I think everything gets scrutinised. I really do. I think you start looking at below and above. You're looking at, for instance, Hibs. I think Hibs have been up and down, sometimes terrible this season. Hibs are what, 5 points off them? And they play Hibs
five.
And they play Hibs in 2 weeks' time, I'm sure. So all of a sudden, he could come under a lot of pressure. I think Saturday's massive for him, I really do.
Yep, it's all set up to be a cracking afternoon. The starter, I mean, I know for a lot of people it's the main course, dessert and everything else, but in terms of the way the time's going to work, Celtic Rangers will get us up and running, and then all those big games afterwards as well. We are very much Thursday night. In fact, it is the weekend now.
I mean,
it feels like I feel that way every Thursday, because you two just bring such an air of
joy
and positivity to the nation. It's always feel like Thursday, kind of where the weekend starts. I mean, but this weekend it's practically
are you off
tomorrow? Official.
No? You still on tomorrow?
This show. I'll tell the jokes. Christmas day off at a push.
Yeah. For Good Friday now.
Hold on a minute, right? You think we would take this show off the night before Celtic play Rangers?
Hugh's getting ready for it as we speak.
Are you new to this part of the world?
I can't
believe Hugh's sitting in the office.
Is he here already?
For a blanket. He's waiting for tomorrow night's Saturday.
Right, we need two more names for Rangers players that have scored in the Europa League or UEFA Cup group stages and the Champions League group stages. So you've got so far You've given me Tavernier, Novo and Arfield. What else are you getting for me?
Stephen Naismith.
No.
You never give us clues.
Yeah, you're right, because can you hear that?
Yeah.
That's ominous, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Come on.
Okay, we're looking at... very much back at probably the start of your era, Mark. You might even have played these guys more for Dundee United. I think you would have. Right, one of them's a former Dundee United teammate of yours.
Stephen Thompson.
Stephen Thompson.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Never got that.
Yeah.
And the last one. Okay, the fixture this weekend. He was a scorer of big goals in that fixture. This guy. Danish.
Peter Lovenkrantz.
Peter Lovenkrantz. That was a bit easy, that clue, but we're nearly out of time.
Bacon, you should listen.
Thank you to Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel, and thank you for listening, for getting in touch, whether that was on the phones or on Twitter. We appreciate it every single night, and it's a bit like Christmas Eve for some of you tomorrow, not to confuse your public holidays, but Celtic against Rangers on Saturday, the final build up tomorrow. A man who played in the fixture for both teams, not Hugh Keevans, he'll be here as well, but Kenny Miller alongside him from six. Make sure you join us.